Welcome to DustinsTravels.com, your home to fun, exciting travel adventures. And now your host, Dustin Saidi.
All right, hello everyone, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. Today's going to be a really fun one. We're going to be talking about the islands of Spain, Mallorca, Menorca, and Ibiza, and which ones to go to, which ones not to go to, and then sort of how to navigate the island. So I'm pretty excited to talk about that. How about you, Karina?
Hi, everyone. I have heard about these islands for a long time, and we were so happy to be able to see the beautiful beaches that these islands have to offer. So I'm really excited to talk about a little bit of the history and the beautiful places to check out there.
Awesome. So let's first talk about which islands to visit, because I'm sure you've heard of Ibiza. I think Ibiza is probably the most famous one. Anybody who goes to college sort of hears about Ibiza and all the partying they do over there. But Mallorca, Menorca, not as popular or well-known. So give a big overview of each of the three islands, if you don't mind.
Sure. So Ibiza, as you said, is a big, big party scene. It is on the more expensive side because it is a very popular destination for young people. There's lots of clubs, lots of places to check out, obviously beautiful beaches too, but it is that sort of like kind of like Vegas-y type of, you know, environment there. So if you want to go hard on the partying and you're willing to pay for it, then go, by all means, go check out Ibiza. But if you are more kind of like us, you want to enjoy the scenery, you're more chill, you know, you're in your 30s, maybe Mallorca and Menorca is a better place to check out just because it does offer those beautiful scenes, but in a more relaxed sort of way.
And very cultured sort of way, I think. The culture we experienced on Mallorca and Menorca was absolutely amazing. So we actually did not go to Ibiza. Like Karina said, we're in our 30s, or Karina's almost in her 30s. So we went to Mallorca and Menorca, and I did a lot of research because I wanted to know which island should we go to, go to both, go to one or the other. And so we did a lot of research on that.
Yeah, and I think our decision was solidified when we heard it from the actual Spaniards, you know, from the locals. They said, don't go to Ibiza. You're just going to find alcohol and drugs there. Go to Mallorca and Menorca. That's the best beaches in Spain. So that was a really good comforting comment. Once we were there.
Right. And so when we decided on between Mallorca and Menorca, we wanted to look at things to see, beaches, culture, all that. What we learned was that they're pretty similar in a lot of ways, but Mallorca is bigger. Mallorca has more beaches. Mallorca has more small towns to drive around and see. And we did end up going to both islands, and I do think that's true, and I think unless you're going to Menorca for a very specific reason, which we'll talk about, you don't really need to go to Menorca. I think you'll get more if you're short on time. Just go to Mallorca because it has more to see, and it's you think bigger island will be more crowded or whatever. It wasn't like that at all.
No, I mean it is very touristy, but you still get a local experience. And as you said, it's beautiful. It has several cities, and you know, like pretty decent sized cities, so you don't feel you're in the middle of nowhere. But if you go to certain parts of the island, it can feel very secluded, very nature-esque. So it does have a little bit of everything to offer.
Yeah. So we spent some time in Menorca, and Menorca is a smaller island. And the only reason we really went there was for something called the Saint Joan Horse Festival. And I am so happy we went there because it was amazing. Tell them a little bit about the festival.
Yeah, and I mean, I love horses. If you love animals, I mean, there's the whole side of the animal cruelty, which is another thought I'm having. But horses are so beautiful and the way they interact. And this festival goes back to the Middle Ages, and people are so proud about their festival that you just get so excited to see it and experience it. So San Juan is obviously one of a saint, and it's the patron saint of Menorca. And this festival, there's different components. There's the religious side, the church side, right? But then there's the horse aspect of it, where they have races and it's different types of races. Only certain people can get involved with it. For example, the men are only allowed to ride the horses. And it's sort of like a jousting race where they run with their big lance and compete against each other.
Yeah, it takes a base for about, well, so let me clarify too, because they actually have this horse festival all over Mallorca throughout the summer between June, I think August and September. And then, cause there's a bunch of smaller cities on the island of Mallorca. So each small city sort of has their own version of this festival on and off for 3 months. So you need to sort of plan when you would go there to catch it. But the big one that they have is on the city of Ciutadella, Ciutadella, and that's on the west coast of Mallorca Island, and it takes place on these exact dates every single year, June 23rd, June 24th, and the last day is June 25th. So if you're going to go to Mallorca or you're traveling to Spain during that time, try to get to Mallorca Island on June 23rd and June 24th, because those are the main 2 days of the festival. And you're in for an amazing experience. So like you said, there's thousands of people that show up to this thing.
So make sure that you get there early in the morning, because it does get really packed. And I think nowadays, I think they were saying the last 10, 15 years, it's become very popular with tourists. Before, it was just sort of like their own little tradition that they kept alive for hundreds of years. But now actually a lot of people go. So make sure that you do plan out your day well. You do show up early so that you can get the best view you can.
Yeah. And the tradition, like you said, it dates back to the Middle Ages, 1200 AD. And they have different competitions, I guess. Mm-hmm. So they had, I don't even know what you call it, where they're riding with the horse and they have the long lance, like you said, and they try to hook a ring. Mm-hmm. They have this other thing too, where people just kind of pull the horse up on two legs and everybody chants ole and they can go in and touch the horse.
Right, exactly. It's sort of like a parade where the jockey, I guess, just runs around the town. And people come up to them and, you know, shake their hands. Apparently, they're big celebrities in town and, you know, people know them. So they go to give them their congratulations. It's sort of like showing off their horses. And the horses are decorated beautifully from the head all the way to the tail. You do feel like you're traveling back in time seeing these people riding their horses, you know, where the big lances jousting against each other. They do have a race just to, you know, run really fast, really quickly. And some of them are holding, you know, the two men are holding each other and their horses are running side by side. So it can be a little bit dangerous, but it's definitely a beautiful tradition to witness.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. And
yeah, well, I guess it's not really a joust. It's more like a racing competition. But still, seeing them with their lances, it just makes it so medieval, you know? They're keeping this tradition alive. It's not a fight between two people, but it's more kind of like a race between the two of them.
Yeah, and this festival, like actually many festivals which we saw in Spain, they really, really get into it. Everybody is there. They're very committed. They're into it. The spectators are into it. The people are into it. It's really, really fun thing to do. So if you're in, so that's really the only reason to go to Mallorca, I think. If you're there, try to be there June 23rd and 24th. It's not that easy to find information about online and figure out where it is. It's just not tourist, you know, friendly that much in terms of finding the information. When you get there, of course, it's tourist friendly.
Right.
But finding the information is actually pretty hard. And we sort of found out like when the dates were, and we kind of went there one day hoping it was going to be there, and it ended up being,
yeah. And the town all over feels kind of eerie, like there's no one really around because everyone's just congregated in this plaza for the horse races. So if you don't see many people, like, don't worry, they just keep walking, keep following the noise. They do have a live band playing music. Just ask around. People are very nice, and they'll tell you where to go to see the horse races.
Yeah, and we actually recommend getting an Airbnb, which is what we did, in that city. So you just stay in that city. You could take a Well, I was going to say you could take a cab there, but it's actually, if you go to any of these islands, you definitely want to rent a car.
Right, right. Definitely rent a car. And also something to keep in mind, Europe does use more of the stick shift cars. So it was a little bit of a hassle for us to get an automatic car. So make sure that either you call to make the reservation, if you don't drive stick shift, just that's something to be aware of.
All right, and then now let's move on to Mallorca Island, which was, it's one of those islands when we went there, we marked it on our list to come back and maybe live there for like 6 months because it was, yeah, it was just that cool.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. We definitely fell in love with that place. Like you said, I wouldn't mind living there for a couple months. It just has, even though it's a small island, it's still pretty big that you can spend a lot of time really getting to know each of the little beaches and the little towns, and it's gorgeous. And we also recommend, highly recommend it to get a car for Mallorca.
Yes, get a car for Mallorca so you can drive around. And some of the fun, so Mallorca has a bunch of small little cities all over the island and beaches all over the island. And they are very natural, very raw. You get that turquoisey blue water in almost every single beach that we went to. And the towns are so historical and so amazing, and some of them are so old they haven't changed. Exactly. My favorite town was Banyal Bufar, which is on the northwest.
And we sort of drove by it and decided to stop by, realizing that it was just so cute, so beautiful. It definitely felt like you traveled through time, and we ended up staying there for a couple hours to fly your drone and get dinner, and it was just so beautiful and mesmerizing.
Yeah, it's right on the coast. There was this, even the town before that had, I think, this long Roman wall or Middle Age wall,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that the streets are extremely small, so it's almost like, you know, that's designed for horse carriages and stuff, not for cars to go right through. So people will try to pull over with one another and allow the other person through. The town was very cute. People there super happy, very nice, very friendly.
We asked for directions a couple times, and they were super friendly, very understanding. Totally recommend to sort of deviate from the big cities and just go on your own and explore, because you'll fall in love with it.
Yeah, and so much of the fun is just driving through and stopping in these random towns you see everywhere. And none of them were similar. In Menorca, I felt like some of the small towns were pretty similar. Mm-hmm. Like you saw one, you've seen them all. But in Mallorca, each town, I think, had its own very, very unique character. So we also visit Palma, which is the kind of is the capital of Mallorca. It's the big city. You basically fly into there. But I mean, spend a day there, maybe half a day, and then get out, because you're not, it's kind of like going to Hawaii and just staying in Honolulu, not visiting the entire island.
Yeah. They do have some beautiful places to see there, like the big cathedral, walk around the streets, because they are very old. In fact, it dates back, you know, to the Middle Ages. There's Arab ruins and Arab construction that you might want to see. There's a castle somewhere in Palma as well. So there's a lot to see, but for sure, don't just see the big city.
Yes. And then the beaches, of course, are a huge, huge attraction of Mallorca. Yeah. And you can't go wrong with many of the beaches. They're all so gorgeous. Some of the ones that we really recommended that we saw, one was Cala des Moro, CalaDesMoro, separate words. And Cala means beach in Spanish.
Catalan.
In Catalan. So Cala des Moro. This was on the southeastern part of the island. It's considered one of the most beautiful beaches there. If you go early morning, because it can get crowded pretty quick. And it's sort of hard to get there a little bit. Tell them how we got in there.
Yeah. So again, we rented a car, which was a good call, because then we have the liberty to wake up as early as we want and just, you know, get in our car and drive around. We parked in a location where it was a little bit strange. And a side note as well, this island speaks Catalan, but they also speak Spanish and English because of the tourism. So just, you know, side note that Catalan is, you know, in the scene there. So we parked in this area where parking was not permitted. So we had to go find another area to park. We ended up going through this other beach that we thought was Cala del Moro. And we started taking pictures and everything, but it didn't seem like the pictures that we had seen. So I'm like, are we sure this is the right place? So another man ends up going through there, and we asked him, is this Cala del Moro? And he said, no, follow me, I'll take you there. And he was actually explaining that the locals don't like or appreciate tourists too much. And because these beaches are so hidden, they try to discourage people from being there too long. So they actually don't have signs, or they take down the signs so that people are not hanging out there for too long, which, you know, whatever. This is kind of like their property, but the beaches are not private property, even though they treat it as such.
Yeah, but we end up, it was fun. We were almost about to leave, like, yeah. Okay, I guess we saw the most beautiful beach. And then we end up finding the real beach and like, oh, yeah, this is the beach. So, yeah, I got some great drone shots. Mm-hmm. We got some great footage from there. We'll put on our YouTube and our Instagram channels as well.
And as you said, make sure to get there early because it does get packed. We got there pretty early in the morning, and there were maybe like 2-3 other people or couples. And soon after we got there, you started seeing like all these tourists coming in. So if you want to enjoy the beautiful scenery with not too many people, make sure that you do wake up early. And I mean, seeing the sunrise even, you know, on your own or with just few people, because it does fill up pretty quickly.
Yeah, and even I didn't feel like that place got too packed with tourists. Even we were there for a few hours. I don't feel, right? Or did you think?
I thought it was pretty packed. I mean, not super packed, but, you know, it was surprising to see, like, how many people came in soon after we got there.
Yeah, and it's a smaller beach. It's not, like, a huge beach.
Yeah, exactly.
Another place we went to was Cala Figuera Marina, Figuera, and I loved this place. It's a small little fishing village, mm-hmm. and you saw homes basically right on the water, and they didn't have a driveway. They had almost like a port, like you would pull your boat up to your home and then park your boat at your home.
Yeah, exactly. So that was fascinating to see. You could tell, again, it's very old. The setup is not, you know, was not intended for cars. In fact, we had to leave our car pretty behind because there was no more access. So just that's something to note there. But it was definitely worth it, and beautiful, you know, look of the marina and their little boats that people have probably had for generations.
Yeah, and then there was, Parque Natural de Mondrago, and there was three beaches. It's like a park area, but there was three beaches in this area. And that was really amazing too. You basically can park and then you go hike, and you can hike to any one of the three beaches, but they're all sort of surrounding the same marina and same bay. So if you find a spot along the hiking path in, you can sort of see all three beaches all at once. Also got some great drone shots there. That was really beautiful too. So these were some of the beaches. There are a lot more, but it kind of depends on the time you have. Those are what we enjoyed the most, and the small towns that we enjoyed the most. There's also the old Roman city, mm-hmm. Polentia. You want to talk about that?
Sure, yeah. So Polentia is up in the north, so you do have to drive maybe like 1 or 2 hours, I can't remember, but it's definitely worth it. I mean, I love history, so it was worth it for us to go check that out. It's Roman ruins. It was a huge city. It has what is it called? Oh my god,
the amphitheater.
Mm-hmm. Huge houses that would have belonged to the nobility there. Again, this was a colony of the Romans back, you know, 2,000 years ago. So it was really beautiful to see. And just for me, there's always this thought about how these great civilizations come to an end. You know, they would have never guessed that tourists from other countries would be stepping on the remains of their homes, right? But it was just really beautiful to experience that, to see the passing of time and what time does to great civilizations. And then next to Polentia is Alcudia, A-L-C-U-D-A-I-A, Alcudia. This is an Arab-influenced city, and it's also very gorgeous. It has like old walls and old mosques, museums, beautiful places. So it's really cool to see the Roman part of the town and then the Arab influence, and obviously today. So it's just very beautiful place to go check out. Again, that's in the north of Mallorca.
So let's talk about some of the logistics with the islands as well. Like we said, rent a car. Don't rely on a bus. Don't rely on a cab, anything like that. Even unless you really like driving motorcycles, don't rent a motorcycle. Yeah. We did that once in a small island in Colombia, and I thought Mallorca might be like that too, but definitely a car is better. It's a big island, and
right.
You got really just regular highways there as well.
Yeah, especially if you want to be out and about, maybe like have a lunch or a picnic, you know, having a car is just so convenient. We actually had some food and our clothes, our towels, even umbrellas because it was so hot. That's something to keep in mind as well.
And let's talk about how to get to and from the islands and even in between the islands. So you can fly to Mallorca or Menorca from almost anywhere in Spain, which is what we did. We actually flew from Madrid. It was our second stop. So we went to Madrid, then we flew into Menorca Island. And again, the time, we weren't normally going to plan that, but because of the timing wise of the St. Joan Festival, that's when we decided to fly into Menorca. So you can fly in and out very easy to almost anywhere in Spain. So that's the best way. I would not recommend taking a boat from, you could take a boat from Barcelona to Mallorca Island. I don't recommend that. It's very long. Apparently it's not like too scenic. It's not like a beautiful thing that you must see. Instead, just fly, get in, get out in terms of the flights. The flights are about an hour or so, maybe an hour and a half. In terms of getting between the islands, also recommend that you fly.
Right.
And I did a lot of research on this, and I actually was planning on, we went from Menorca to Mallorca to take a boat, but it's not totally feasible. One is the boats, times apparently our guests are never on time. Mm-hmm. They're on Spanish time, so they go really late. If you wanted to, you could take a boat from Menorca, the main port of Menorca on the southeast side, which is also near, I don't remember if that's accurate, but in Mallorca, there's two ports, one on the east side and one in the city of Palma. And if you want to take a boat from Menorca to Mallorca, you could do, I think it's about a 3-hour one to the east side, or you take an 8-hour one all the way to the city of Palma. And again, they're not on time, and it just didn't seem too appealing. I think it's much better to fly.
Yeah, not only that, I think for us also the biggest thing was saving time, right? We have limited time and we want to see as much as possible. So being on a boat for 3 to 8 hours just seemed like a waste of time if we could fly there, right? So make the best use of your time, and flying will get you there quickly.
So talking about this has made me want to go back now.
I know. It was so beautiful. And I actually studied abroad in Spain 10 years ago, and I kept hearing about these islands and never made it out. So now that I was able to go with Dustin, it just, you know, it was a surreal experience. I mean, we love beaches and sunsets and, you know, these gorgeous old cities with a lot of history. So it was beautiful. It has a little bit of everything to offer. So highly recommend that you check out Menorca and Mallorca.
Yes, and stay at Airbnbs when you're there. You get a more local experience. Mm-hmm. We stayed at a beautiful one kind of overlooking the water.
Right.
And it's much, much cheaper than the hotels.
Oh, yeah. And then again, you're going to be out and about unless you're one of those people that likes to spend time in a resort, a nice hotel. But we knew that we were not going to spend too much time in a room. We're out exploring and driving around, doing all these fantastic activities outdoors. So why waste a bunch of money in a hotel, an expensive hotel, when you can go with Airbnb?
And time-wise, at least 3 days in Mallorca, at least. And honestly, you could spend 6 months there, which, knock on wood, we're hoping to do at some point.
Definitely. Yeah. It has a lot to offer. You can do the clubs at night, the bars, the historical places, getting lost in little towns, beach hopping. So definitely spend at least 3 days, if not more.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this fun episode of The Islands of Spain. Thank you so much for listening to that episode. If you want to get some visuals on what we're talking about, please follow us at our Instagram page at Dustin's Travels, Dustin's Travels, TRAVELS, both plural, Dustin's Travels. on Instagram. We would love for you to follow us, connect with us, and see some of the pictures and videos that we have from our travels. Thanks so much, and we will see you there.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.